Tonight, before we were planning out this service, and we were in Sunday school, and Pastor was like, "Brad, do you mind giving a short, 5-minute challenge?" And I was like, "Sure, I agreed to do that." One thing I didn't agree to do was go first. Hunter and Cody put me in a terrible situation. Might use some of his water just because he did that. Will you please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1? We'll begin in verse 7. You might have to wait on me to find it. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Brother Jeremiah, will you please open us in prayer? So, verse 7 basically says, fear, there's two kinds of fear in the Bible. There's the fear of God and then the fear of man. The fear of God is really good. It's defined as being in awe of God and giving Him glory for His power. This type of fear is encouraged in the Bible. Then there's the fear that this verse is talking about, and it's this kind does not come from God and has no benefits whatsoever. And for the fear of God, Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Also, C.H. Spurgeon said, "The fear of God is the death of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, it chases all other fears before it." And that was my first point, what is fear? My second point is, why do we fear? And when I think of why people fear, I think it's more of people fear because of the lack of faith that they have in whatever they're doing. For example, about a week ago we were riding jet skis in a lake, and I was driving, my dad was behind me, and my brother was in the very back. And so we had a really straight shot to wherever we were going, and I was going about 50, and all I heard was Todd behind me going, "Brad, slow down. Brad, slow down. Brad, slow down." I ignored him because I didn't want to slow down. And if I would have slowed down, my dad would have told me to speed up. And later, me and my dad switched places, and so I was in the middle and he was driving. And what he decided to do is he would do some donuts and then straighten up and go over the little waves he had made. And all you hear behind me is, "Daddy, quit! Daddy, slow down! I don't like this! Stop!" And so, the reason I say this is because my brother had little confidence in my dad keeping him on the jet ski instead of out of the water. And it's easy for us as Christians to have a lack of faith in God handling our situations. And my third point is faith instead of fear. First off, God commands us not to fear. If you'll turn really quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. In verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is it that doth go before, that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And in this verse it says fear not. And that place, nearly 100 times in the Bible teaches us to fear not. And if it says it, 100 times, it's probably really important. And another thing that we have to trust that God is in control. Deuteronomy 3:22 says, Let me turn to that because I forgot to put it on my paper. Deuteronomy 3, verse 22 says, "Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you." And so we have, when I say trust God is in control, we have to trust that he will fight for us, and he will, whatever situations we're in, we just lean on him and he'll help us out. Another thing is, another Spurgeon quote is, faith laughs at that which fear weeps over. So when we have faith, all the other fears are just, you know, they're gone. And an example of somebody that had to go into faith instead of fear was Moses. You know, when he first told God in football, we had a chaplain in football who, our first game, he started talking about Moses, and his main quote was, "Who am I?" Because, you know, God asked him what to do, and Moses, you know, "Who am I to confront Pharaoh about letting your people go? Who am I to, you know, Lord, I have a stuttering problem. Who am I?" And through Moses' task, he had to learn to stop leaning on himself and start leaning on God. And my illustration to close us off is, my football coaches, you know, tell us that whenever we make a mistake in a game or practice, that we have to be doing it full speed, because we can correct our mental errors. You know, they can tell us what route to run or who to block or when to block a certain person, but what they can't control is our effort. And if we go through life worrying about the stuff that could go wrong and not depend on God, we won't be able to serve Him going full speed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the time we have to give the youth to lead this service, and we ask that you would just bless the rest of the speakers and bless the music, and that we would all get something from this service, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, could all of you turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2, please? While they're all returning, I am kind of upset because I did not get an afternoon nap and I really could have used it today, but what can you do? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This message is called The Little Things, and I'm going to start it off with a thing about football. One of my football coaches always says that the difference between being good and great on the football field isn't the big things that you do, it's doing the little things right. And the same thing applies in your Christian walk. If in order to grow as a Christian, you must be a living sacrifice, according to those verses. So I personally, growing up, I always like to think that if God called me to be a missionary or commanded me to sell all and give it to the poor, I would do it. It's a big command. It's something big to ask, but I would want to do it because God said so. I would trust in him, and he would give me the strength to do it. I like to think that, yet consistently, I don't obey him in the little things, or supposedly little things that are actually big. Different commands like honor thy father and mother, I consistently get in the habit of disobeying, and I'm sure many others do as well. Often the little things don't seem like a little living sacrifice, as the verse says, yet being faithful in the little things can be more difficult than being faithful in the big things. They form a nearly constant temptation, which can easily wear us down if we're not rooted in the Word. The second point is, in order to grow as a Christian, you must form the right habits. The part of the verse that says, "Be not conformed to this world," if you consistently choose to neglect the little things, they will become bad habits that can stay with you for your life, and they make you immune, but where sin doesn't bother you anymore. And it gets worse and worse. It gets to the point that sinning is second nature, and you immediately jump to do that instead of doing what's right. Thankfully, the verse gives us hope in the next statement, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that's not an easy process. It takes a lot of time and effort. In fact, a study shows that it takes nearly 66 days to form or break a new habit. So don't become discouraged after a month or two when it's still so hard to choose to do what's right. Once you've made a habit of it, it's going to take a long time. It's going to be a process. You just got to trust in God because he promises to help you. The third point is when you are faithful in the little things, it's easier to find God's will in the big things. In Luke 16:10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." In my literature class last year, my teacher would give us homework, reading assignments most nights. But to make sure that everyone did this, she would randomly assign pop quizzes the next day in class. You had no idea when they were going to happen, but it was if you were faithful in the little things and the reading your literature, it would be much easier. You would get a good grade, easy grades. The same thing applies in your Christian walk. If we are faithful in the little things, God will help us with the unexpected big things that pop up. So just trust in the Lord and he will help you. Let's close in prayer. Lord, please continue to bless this sermon today. Please take away any of the words that came out of myself and not of you, Lord. Please just help them to fade from everyone's memory. Please just drive home the truths from your word, Lord. Please help people to be faithful in the little things and draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. While you're there, you know, I'm just really proud of these teenagers for stepping up out of their comfort zone. Just doing a lot of different things that may be new to them. So I'm proud of them, and I know y'all are too. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. See if I can get there. There we go. So, what I'm going to talk about today is, next 5 to 10 minutes, is about your identity. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, in our day, about what you identify as and your different identities. But today we're just going to look at the identity of a Christian, okay? I'm going to read verses 3 through 6 in chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We're going to focus on the first verse 5 and verse 6 tonight. But let me ask you a question first, all right? What is your identity? Okay, but more specifically, where is your identity? Okay, where do you place your identity and yourself? Like, who do you say you are? Okay, and if you're a child of God, what we're going to talk about is just that our identity needs to be in Christ and what he's done for us, okay, and how he sees us. In verse 5, he says, Paul's talking here, he says, "having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." Okay, he's adopted us into his family. So when God sees us, he sees us as his children. Okay, and he doesn't see us as how we were before we accepted him as Christ. He doesn't see our failures or our weaknesses or our sins. He sees our position in him. Okay, and when we realize that who we are in Christ, you know, our weaknesses and our failures will fade away. And you know, our first point tonight is, you know, our identity shouldn't be in what we do. Okay, and our identity is not things we don't do well. All right, that's good news, right? I'm glad my identity is not in water skiing, right? Megan knows, she was on the boat with me. But yeah, okay, our identity is not in things that we don't do well, okay? And that's good news, because you know, the Lord, he's gracious and he loves us, and he hasn't made us to be for us to keep that identity, and it's not up to us, it's up to him, okay? But on the same side of that, our identity is not in things that we do well. Okay, maybe it's a job title, or maybe it's a position that we hold. If you think of a CEO of, you know, a large company, and he's just, you know, the best it's ever been, well, what's going to happen to him one day? He's going to retire, okay? And new talents come in. You know, he might spend his whole life there at this company, and you know, he built it up from the ground or whatever. But then some new guy will come in, and he might do things completely different. Okay? And if this man's identity is not in Christ, if it's in his work or in himself, what happens? He fades away, right? So that's what we got to be careful of. And also abilities can fade too. You know, if your identity is in yourself and what you do, you know, we grow older, our body wears out, and you know, when you get to be 50 years old, you can't do things like you were when you're 20 years old, right? That's why you don't see many 60-year-olds playing in the NFL, right? All right, and also our identity in Christ will never change. Okay, that goes to back what I just said about our abilities. Okay, when we have our identity in Christ, we see that our abilities don't matter. Okay, it's all up to the Lord and what He did, and it's not about what we do. It's about what He did. Okay. And God sees us as His children, no matter if we think we're successful or not. Okay, and most of the time, you know, we have these failures, but they're most of the time not as bad as we make them out to be. All right. But that's all I have tonight. So let's just, you know, pray for me and everybody else that we would keep our identity in Christ. And, you know, when, like I said, when we see what we really are in Christ, then, you know, a lot of our problems and failures and shortcomings will fade away. Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank You for this day, and thank You for the truths of Your Word. Thank You for who we are in Your position that we have with You. Lord, I ask that You would help us all to realize that and use that truth to change our lives and impact other people around us. All these things we ask in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Let's continue praying with heads bowed and eyes closed, please. I think it would be totally appropriate for us to have an invitation time. And perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, perhaps in the area of fear. Perhaps you're overcome with fear right now about a situation you're dealing with, and the Lord spoke to you about that. Perhaps it's in another area. Perhaps it's the little things. Maybe the Lord's dealt with you about you've let a lot of little things go, and you're no longer being faithful in even reading your Bible or praying. Those things that God has you know to do, maybe honoring mom and dad. And then, where is your identity? Or do you try to identify and just be in your workplace or a title? Or do you constantly identify with Jesus Christ? Is He the one you identify to? I just ask you to be obedient to God's Spirit as we go into invitation time. If He's spoken to your heart and you want to come forward, the invitation is open, and you just be obedient to God's Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? What hymn number, brother?
562, Just As I Am.
562, you be obedient to God's Spirit.